Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to Blog Talk Radio with your host, Rachel Wright. So happy to be here today. I hope everyone is having a great weekend. Today, it looks like the weather is going to hold up, so those raindrops may not see us today. So we're actually outside on the studio deck today broadcasting. Appreciate everybody that has stopped by today to wish us well. Just a little bit about myself for those of you who are new to the show. Again, welcome. Welcome to everyone that's been listening thus far. I am a motivational speaker, the owner of Rachel Chat, an insurance agent, volunteer, philanthropist, and kidney transplant recipient. I would like to start off today's show by giving a little recap of my diabetic challenge that I have been doing for almost a month now, almost a month for the food diary as well. Everything is progressing. I had a very hectic week working on a new project. I'll be updating everyone in the upcoming weeks on this show as well as on social media. So look forward to that. I looked through my food diary and noticed that I had skipped recording Sunday and Monday. Just got really busy, did not have a chance to take the diary with me. I managed to get back on track Tuesday, and up till today, I have been keeping a daily log on the diary. Out of the house all week by 7 a.m., which that was a win. Unfortunately, a couple of days, I did not pack my breakfast, so I did eat out, trying to make some healthy selection. So that wasn't a win. I guess it was half and half, 50-50. I did finish up appointments early, so that was a good thing. Made my way home, so I was actually able to have lunch and dinner at home, which was great. So I've seen a consistent schedule throughout the week. For taking medications, I've tried to stay on track for that, doing breakfast between 9 and 10 a.m., lunch between 1 and 2 p.m., dinner between 5 and 6 p.m., and a snack if needed in between those meals. And also if I do a evening snack, I'm trying to do that between 7:15 and 7:45 p.m. Not too late, but just to accommodate if the glucose level would drop too low before bedtime. So the changes I've made to the diabetic challenge, sticking with the scheduling of medications and meals, that has really helped in eliminating the spike in the glucose levels. What I'm seeing from last Saturday, July 21st, until today, which is July 28th, is normal glucose levels every day. AM, lunch, dinner, even at bedtime, all have been within the normal range. So when we are finishing up the month for July, I will send an email to my endocrinologist letting her know what the month of July looks like. So she'll go ahead and review those July readings. I can say that from the July readings, looking at the past month of June, July actually towards mid-month finished up a lot better than the entire month of June, which was, you know, very disappointing. But I did make a decision that I was going to do better, and I think the food diaries, getting a handle on everything that I'm eating, if there has been a spike in the level, just going back that day and reviewing, hey, what did I eat? Did I have maybe an extra snack? Did I not have a healthy snack? What I'm finding is the snack that I chose this week, I did sliced apples, sliced up some strawberries. I also did unsalted granola, which consisted of unsalted cashews, cranberries, raisins, unsalted pumpkin seeds, unsalted regular peanuts. So a mixture of those three different snacks throughout the week has definitely decrease the spike levels. So I'm going to stick with that for next week and see how that goes. I'm going to incorporate a different type of meat. I've been doing chicken for probably the last week, so I'm going to incorporate some turkey into that. Also going to incorporate some salads into that. So next week when I'm talking about it, I'll let you know if that worked. Maybe it didn't. Maybe it did. So we'll be able to get an idea if the normal arrangements are, you know, staying true to the numbers after those additions. I do want to talk about my two-year anniversary. That was yesterday. Let me just say it was very emotional. I felt a little overwhelmed at times with, you know, all the calls I received and well wishes on social media. You know, it just takes me back to 2 years ago when I got the call and I had the surgery. And I don't think a lot of people knew that during the surgery there was a complication. The surgeon later told me when I had a follow-up appointment, he was the primary surgeon. It was three surgeons in there. And, you know, they're more than capable of handling the transplant. And so he said, you know, they advised him they could handle the rest of the surgery. Everything looked stable, and he headed home, and he said when he was maybe only 10 minutes away, he got the call from the other two surgeons saying that there was a problem, that because I had a prior surgery, I had my appendix out probably, I think it's maybe like 4 years ago, and then over 6 years ago, I had an ovarian cyst removed. So he was saying that there was a lot of scar tissue buildup, and when they perform your transplant, the new kidney is in the front by your stomach, and it's usually off to the left or off to the right side. So they told him there was not enough room. They were having a problem maneuvering the new kidney in because of all the scar tissue that was in there. And I remember he said, he was like, of course, you know, he was like, you're my patient. You've been my patient for a long time. And he said, I just laughed and said, of course she wants me to be there. That's what it is. She doesn't want me to go home. So he turned around and, you know, performed the surgery and, you know, just explained to me at a later date that that was what happened, that there was a lot of scar tissue buildup, and, you know, he made the necessary correction, and, you know, it fit in there perfectly. So you know, even yesterday when I got up to think about it, the first thing I did was, you know, say a prayer, just, you know, thanking God for letting me see another day and thanking him for letting me get this kidney transplant. You know, there are a lot of patients still waiting out there for transplants, and a lot of patients that, you know, for other medical conditions are not able to have kidney transplants. So I definitely feel blessed that I was given another opportunity in life with this kidney transplant. And I can just remember that, you know, after surgery, I was in ICU probably 24 to 48 hours. And the only thing that I was concerned about, I remember, you know, when the surgeon comes in and, you know, tells you everything's going okay, you're kind of in and out of it. And I remember the first question I asked him, is there a tube in my mouth? Because I had surgery one time before, and there was like this tubing for breathing in my mouth, and it was just so aggravating. So I made him promise that he would not put that tube in my mouth. Of course, he said, you know, that's not the same type of tubing we use now. Maybe they do something a little differently. But, yeah, my main question is there any tubing in my mouth? So I can just remember that. And then after surgery, you know, you're just trying to get through the week. You know, then the week turns into months. And then, you know, the month ends up turning into years. And then the next thing you know, July 26th, you're celebrating your pre-anniversary. And then July 27th rolls around 2018, and you're at your two-year. You wonder where the time has gone, but you also, you know, are thankful and blessed that 2 years has passed. A lot has changed since I initially had the surgery. Medications have changed. The frequency in appointments has changed. Still on the same medication that I was released from the hospital on. Been a little couple of tweaks when we incorporated a blood pressure medicine in there. That's been decreased. We actually have incorporated some glucose medication in there for diabetes. That's kind of, you know, been tweaked a little. So in and out of certain medications. But when we look at an overall picture of the medications for the kidney transplant, those core medications have stayed the same, even though maybe the doses have changed, depending on if I had a decrease in my white count. So the core medications have still remained the same. The other one, you know, the other medications we have tweaked a bit. So that has definitely changed in a two-year time frame. I went from transplant clinic follow-ups from being seen when I initially got out of the hospital. I think I got out of the hospital maybe on a Tuesday. I had to come back for my first clinic appointment on a Friday. So initially for that first month, I was being seen twice a week. And then as we moved on from there, once a week, then I moved on to every 2 weeks, then one time a month. Now I'm being followed up with my nephrologist every 6 weeks. But in between that every six-week appointment, I have to see the endocrinologist. And then I have to go back to the transplant clinic on, we'll say, I think it's every, on the eighth month. So it's definitely not a situation where you're too far out there without any medical follow-up. You still have medical follow-up that you're going through, even though it's 2 years. I initially would say that I am would like to have it less frequently, but I'm just so thankful that I have the kidney transplant and that everything's been going well, that quite frankly, if they were to tell me that that needed to change, you know, that would be something that I would go along with, just because, you know, I never thought that I would get to this point. Well, I won't say I never thought. I always had faith that I would get a kidney transplant, despite a transplant doctor telling me that, you know, just because I've had other surgeries, that it might be a while for me to get a kidney transplant, or as he put it, a needle in a haystack. You know, I always had faith that it would work out. And even though I tried not to focus on the daily routine of what kidney dialysis was, I knew that my time would come, and that when everything was aligned, that I would get the kidney transplant. And, you know, as I told everyone yesterday that wished me well, I will, you know, celebrate that day every year, every July 27th, I will celebrate that day, because it is a blessing. And, you know, thank you to the family that did have the courage to have their family member donate a kidney. Just a little background information on today's topic, which I guess is appropriate that we're talking about donating a kidney, because I did receive a kidney from a person who was deceased. It was not what is called a living donation, from someone who is living, maybe a relative, you know, maybe a friend. So my kidney donation was something that's called a cadaver kidney. And when you start the process and you say, you know, I want to donate a kidney, a lot of times it's from a request. Maybe you have a best friend, or maybe you have a family member that has reached out to you and, you know, told you that they need to have a kidney transplant. And the first thing that you need to do is just research what that entails. A lot of the testing that goes on behind the scenes, some of the same tests I had to have as far as the evaluation process. You do meet with a kidney transplant team. They do discuss your surgery, how long it will take, what are the pre-op procedures, you know, where they, how they remove the kidney. You will not be in the hospital as long as the donor will be, but, you know, there will be a time where, you know, you will have to have a hospital, you will have a hospital stay, you know, after your surgery. So that's normally how they go about it. It's generally the same time frame, maybe a 3-hour surgery where you're having your original kidney, which is in the your back, removed, and then the person that is getting the kidney, they will have that implanted into the front, usually in the stomach area, right or left side. There is a screening that goes on, so you will have to have lab work performed to see if you are a match for that. And then that basically starts the process. You know, if you meet with all the doctors, you decide that you want to go ahead with the kidney transplant and you want to donate a kidney, they'll have an initial interview with you. there will be a psychiatric review. I know some people are like, psychiatric review. I just want to make sure that you do understand, you know, what is going on. You're going to have, you know, a part of your body removed. Sometimes that can be a very emotional process. Sometimes there can be depression involved in that. As far as the physical aspect, you know, you will have some stitches in the back, so you will have to go through, you know, a healing period, just like the person receiving the transplant would. You know, you won't have to take any immunosuppressant drugs for the new kidney because you had a kidney removed, but you will experience physical side effects. You know, you won't be able to immediately drive a car. You won't be able to immediately back on the exercise program that you might or, you know, may not be on. So you have that aspect. And then they will go ahead and schedule your surgery. I do tell people, you know, my situation, I did ask a few friends, some family members, if they would be interested in taking a blood test. You know, a lot of family members and friends were out of town, so it's basically the transplant center reached out to their primary care doctor and told them this is the specific lab work that we want done, and then after that, the clinic will review that and see if that person is a match for you. I know sometimes people are hesitant in going through their process, and I think a lot of it has to do, they're just not, you know, aware of the process, how it works, you know, what it actually means, you know, when you're donating a kidney, you're saving someone else's life. You're giving them a chance to have a normal life. Or, you know, if they don't have that opportunity, they may have a situation where they would have to go on a waiting list until a donor is found. So several different reasons why, you know, people look at donating. There's a lot of humanitarian donations where, you know, people might read a story or they realize there are limited amounts of donors and, you know, they want to maybe perhaps be an anonymous donor or donate to, you know, someone that's in their church or maybe someone at work. When you think about it, there are a lot of people over, you know, 200,000 people on the waiting list, and, you know, there are more than 200,000 people in States of America. So if you figure just one person donated a kidney, you know, a lot of the people that are on that waiting list, you know, would have a successful kidney transplant and a chance of a new life. There are some risks involved that maybe initially when people are thinking they donate, they need to consider, as I spoke earlier about, are they emotionally ready, you know, to handle the fact that, you know, a part of your organ will be removed from your body and donated into, you know, another human being. There is, you know, emotional consequences for that. You may experience, as I said earlier, some depression associated with that just because, you know, it is a removal of your organ. So there may be some depression associated with that. Another thing, the, you know, your physical health. Are you someone who is in good physical condition? They're not going to consider someone who is overweight and maybe has some other medical conditions for a donation. So that's also a concern. They may, if you're still adamant about donating, they may request that, you know, perhaps you need to change your lifestyle, eating habits before you're able to donate a kidney. And then also there are some financial concerns. Who is going to pay for this? Actually, if you're donating a kidney, the recipient's Medicare or the private insurance company of the person receiving the kidney, they will pay for that. They will pay for your medical bills. They will pay for the surgery. But you need to consider, okay, you've had the surgery. Now you're at home. You won't be able to work for a while. Do you have leave that you can use? You should be eligible, hopefully, for some FMLA, Family Medical Leave Act. You should be eligible for that. So there's a lot of concerns that you need to look into before you are making the decision to donate. I encourage everybody, if you, you know, have a question about donation or, you know, you're considering donation, that you do go onto the website for the National Kidney Foundation. Check them out. They do have a newsletter regarding kidney donation. Also, my transplant center, which is MedStar Health Washington Hospital Center or MedStar Health Georgetown University Transplant Center, both of those hospitals have excellent resources regarding kidney donation and transplant coordinators that are willing to, you know, walk you through the process and talk to you about all the aspects of kidney donation. I would encourage everyone, if you're not already, to be a donor the next time you're at the NVA, you're waiting to get your license renewed, your registration. Make sure on your driver's license you select that, yes, you do want to be a kidney donor. Something could happen to you. You know, your organs could save several lives. So I hope this has been helpful. I hope that everyone enjoyed the celebration yesterday. Some enjoyed it a little too much, but, you know, needless to say, it comes around once a year. So, of course, we had a good time. So I just want to say thank you to everybody that came out for that. Also, you know, thanks to everyone that came out today in the studio deck. You know, I know they're under the shade tree, so they're enjoying that. And if you want to hire me to speak at your event or panel or host an event or perhaps business partnership that you might be looking to do that you would want me to get involved with, please feel free to contact me on social media. I am on Facebook at Rachel Wright. I am on Twitter at Rachel Chats. Instagram is Rachel W. Chats. Or you can visit my website, which is www.rachelchats.com. I know there are some folks that are not on social media. They prefer to, you know, talk one-on-one, which is fine. You can give me a call at 301-693-7792. And definitely I will return those messages and calls within 24 hours. I appreciate everyone listening to the show today, and stay tuned to future shows. I did say last week that I'm going to do a Survivor series, so stay tuned for that. We're still in production for those folks, so that's going to be something that's coming up on the show. Also, I will have a survey that's going to be on Facebook at Rachel Wright, and that's just going to be gathering some information for a name search for my upcoming YouTube channel. So everybody look out for that. That's going to be coming up on Facebook. And then we're also going to be having a couple of giveaways in August, so stay tuned for that. And I will be back next Saturday at 2 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Again, I want to thank Candace George at Entrepreneurs Empower. Visit her at imprintfashions.com. I truly appreciate the opportunity that she's given me to host my own show. Please reach out to her on one of those two platforms and let her know that everything is going well. Also, have a great week, everyone, and enjoy this weather. You know, we've been indoors for a while with the rain, so definitely enjoy being outside today. And be right. Thank you so much, and have a great week.